All right, so let me give me a warm welcome here for Lon Sapko.
Can you shut that up?
Oh, you want that?
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, guys. Yeah, you guys got to be social. This is social media here, social networking. Yeah, hi, this is fun. I'm really excited. I'm so happy you guys came out, honest to goodness. You're all part of my network now, whether you know it or not. And if you anybody here tweet, Twitter, get it up there. Use the hashtags. Send us messages. We're going to be following them through the course of the presentation here today. Let's talk about social media. Really, what the purpose is to let you know that I'm a business person, much like everybody in the audience, and I've had to figure this stuff out, I mean, from marketing right through social media throughout my career over the last 25 years. I formed 10 companies, and I am running three companies. I'm the CEO of three companies. Luckily, they're internet companies, which makes it a lot easier because I don't have employees, and the internet's easier to manage. But I had a responsibility to my partners and shareholders of these companies a couple of years ago to try to always stay on the very cutting edge of marketing. So what I needed to do when I first heard about social media is investigate it and see if it had any, if it warranted my understanding of it in application for my companies. And that's really what drove me. And then, of course, when I started getting into it and understood the value and the way that social media marketing is going to change and is already changing the way we market and the way we do public relations. So as soon as I found out about social media, I realized the importance of how it was going to change the way I was going to market my business and do communications and do sales, and that's why I got involved in it. And I was so excited, I wrote the book on it, and that's my enthusiasm, and I just wanted to share that with you because it's important. It's going to stay here. Now, the definition of social media. When I first decided to do the book, I was like, oh my gosh, what if I just used social media to design the book on social media? What if I actually went out to 1,000 people and asked them, what do they want to see in a business book? And the first thing that I did was we ran this poll, and I said, how many people, first of all, can define social media, and then how many people think it's going to have a significant impact on them and their business over the oncoming years? Now, this was a fairly sophisticated group, combined annual income of over $120,000. Every one of them had some kind of a degree, a lot of PhDs, business people, CEOs in particular, and a lot of academia, because I wanted that group, because they're the ones that are responsible for the strategic planning of their companies. And here's what we found, two interesting statistics. The first one, 66.4% of the people that we surveyed said that they could not define what social media is. Now, if you're sitting in the audience and you can't define what social media is, don't feel bad. Two-thirds of the people that we polled said that they couldn't. And I think that the remaining third was just lying about it. Trust me, after writing an 844-page book, I'm still struggling with defining what social media is and how to use it. The other thing that was interesting is the 99.1% said they knew it was going to have an effect on them. So let's put it in different terms. Everybody, almost 100% of the people knew that it was coming after them, but two-thirds didn't know what it was. So you know what? If there was any two statistics that sold the book, that's what sold the book, because people want to know what it is. Now, what is the definition? Well, whether you call it social media, social networking, Web 2.0, user-generated content, building networks, it's all really the same thing. Most of this terminology has come around from people who have actually written books and try to wrap their brains around it, try to coin little phrases, but really it really means the same thing. And what it is, it falls into three parts. The first one is digital convergence. For the first time in history, everything works together. Now, I've been in the computer industry since 1975, and the one thing that we always used to joke about is the computer industry has so many standards. Well, isn't that an oxymoron? You're not supposed to have a lot of standards, you're supposed to have one. Well, that's what we had up until recently. But now you know that if you have a JPEG, you can see it in your PDA, you can open it in your BlackBerry, you can open it in your laptop, it goes through email. If you're gonna run an MP3, you can hear your music on your iPod. All the digital media now is working on all the technology. That was the first breakthrough, is this digital convergence. And the cell phone is the single most important piece of technology that's driving this. The second thing is social networks. It could be MySpace, Facebook, it can be virtual environments. And I'm going to talk about most of this stuff and give you kind of examples of how businesses are using it. Social networks. Social just means people you hang around with. Guess what? right now, because you all are here right now, you all have this in common, you all are networking, you're all part of this social network that's taking place right now. If you're part of asthma, you're part of that social network. So it's no more complicated, just that we now have places on the internet where you can actually go and join other like-minded people who have similar interests. Now, when you have similar interests with other people, that builds trust. When you have trust, that's what converts prospects to customers. You have to build that trust, and social media and social networks are really the most powerful way to do that. And the third part is user-generated content. Customer collaboration. Get your people involved. Get your customers involved. Rather than asking your marketing department, what do you think this month is what we should say to get our prospects to convert to customers? Or a marketing company, let's brainstorm and guess what our customers want to hear. Rather than doing that, what if we just, I know this is going to be crazy, so you just hear it up, ask your customers. What made them buy? Why did they participate? Why did they get engaged in your brand? If you understand that better, they trust you. You can communicate in a way that they want to be communicated to. User-generated content. Now, here's some of the social media players. I'm not wearing my glasses right now, so I can't read them to you. But there's a lot of them up there. There's actually over 200 companies that I investigated when doing the social media Bible. 200 companies. And this is why everybody is overwhelmed with the subject matter. Now, here's the good news. You only need about three. Maybe four. That's all. So get out there, pick a couple, play with them, see which ones are working, and just kind of narrow it down. Then when you get good with that, as John Adam has done, it's absolutely amazing. Then just simply expand to the next and to the next. But the key is not to get overwhelmed, because it's really a wide landscape out there. Now, I want to give you a couple of takeaways, some digital technology that you may or may not be aware of that I use on a daily basis, and it's social media. It's about socializing using media. The first one is AOL AIM, instant messaging. With your handout this morning, when you registered, you got a paper model. That's one of my companies that does three-dimensional advertising. And my two partners are based out of San Diego. And every morning when I turn on my desktop, it automatically logs into my AOL account, AIM. And when my partner gets online, it just simply says he's there. And I could just instantly just type something. He gets the message. He communicates back with me. And we have real-time text communication going back and forth all day as long as we want. And I can do this with 20 people. We can conference. It's absolutely amazing. I don't have to pick up the phone. I don't have to make a long-distance call. Okay, well, wait a minute. Maybe texting is a little cumbersome for you. So you just simply click the button on the top right. And now you simply talk at your computer. And assuming you got a built-in microphone, I am actually talking with my partners in San Diego, real time, as if I was on the telephone all day. I have an open, long-distance line. It's called VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol. Don't have to know that, just that it works. And I'm just talking with him as if we were in the same room. Kind of makes my wife nervous from time to time when I'm all alone in my office and I'm talking to myself. But it's really an effective way to communicate. Now, if you want, you can click the button again, and if you have a built-in video camera, you're actually seeing the person. Now, we just did a conference call with somebody in Edinburgh, Scotland, the same way, absolutely free. Why would you make a long-distance phone call for the rest of your life when you can automatically video? By the way, everything that we're going to talk about here today, everything is 100% free. When have you ever gone to a marketing seminar where somebody came up in the beginning and said, everything that we're going to share with you is 100% free? That's what's so amazing about this. So real, live video conferencing, and just with the click of a button, anytime you want, absolutely free. And by the way, that doesn't usually happen until afternoon because I work out of my office at home, and I don't usually shower, and you don't want to go there. So yeah, this is free. Let me give you another piece of technology. Google Alerts. Oh my gosh, if you're not using Google Alerts, oh my gosh, how cool is this? If you want to find it, all you have to do is Google Alerts. And there you are, and as long as you have a Gmail account, and if you don't have a Gmail account, please, when you leave, have someone counsel you on why Gmail is a good idea, because it is absolutely free. Have it set up anyway. But with a Gmail account, you can type in any text you want, and any time, any place in the world that that text is mentioned, you get an instant email notification. So you put in your name, You put in your company name. You put in your products. You put in your services. Anytime anybody in the world creates a blog, creates a web page, you instantly get notified with that link. People are going to talk about you, and it's not just a schizophrenia talking here. People are going to say things about you. They're going to say good things. They might say something that's not so pleasant, but don't you want to know what that is? Don't you want to participate and be aware of the conversations that are taking place with and without you? Just by setting these free Google alerts. I have it for Lon Safko. I have it for the Social Media Bible, for innovative thinking, all of my buzzwords. Anytime somebody writes about it, I go right to their blog, I comment, I introduce myself, and it builds a relationship because we have something in common, trusted networks. It also builds business. So Google Alert, please, absolutely free, gives you the chance to find out who's talking about you, what they're saying, and you find out for instantly, and it doesn't cost anything. Twitter, we're going to do a full half-hour presentation. Stephen Groves is our Phoenix local expert on Twitter. You've heard it in the news. You've seen, who knows about the Larry King, Ashton Kutcher? Yeah, pretty cool, huh? I mean, over a million followers. Ashton Kutcher got over a million followers, beat CNN. He had 1,230,000. CNN had 980,000. And it actually bought malaria nets for children in Africa, which is really cool. Anybody familiar with the Ding Dong Ditch last week? Come on, guys. Ashton Kutcher, man, punked. Ding Dong Ditch. You ring the doorbell, you throw ding dongs, literally. And they ding dong Ted Turner's house. I don't know why. I guess he owns CNN. He lost, so they bombed his house with ding-dongs. Okay, but let's get serious. Basically, what we're talking about when we're talking about Twitter is text messaging on steroids. Last Monday, I was in Atlanta, and I did this presentation for Jerry Maguire, and there were more Super Bowl rings in the room than I had ever seen in my life, and I said the same thing, and the crowd went dead. Steroids, not a good thing. Know your audience, by the way. So Twitter, you follow people that you respect, people who respect you follow you. Anytime you get an inspiration, you Twitter it out. That's what's happening on the screen on the right. Anytime someone else has something intelligent to say, and sometimes not so intelligent, they Twitter it, you get it, so you're instantly informed. Really, that's all there is to it. But I do want to mention this one case study that's over on the right-hand side. If you haven't actually seen Gary Vaynerchuk, you have to go out and look at some of his videos. He's produced about 620 videos. He's a Jersey boy. He took over his dad's wine distributorship at about $5 million annual revenue. He started using Twitter and within 36 months built it to $50 million. And now he just signed a $1 million contract to write a series of 10 books on Twitter. That's the power of this. So in December, what he did is he tried a Twitter. Now, it was a great example of pairing conventional marketing that we're all comfortable with this new silly tweet stuff. So what he did was, is he did a direct mail piece, he did a billboard on one of the local freeways, and he sent out a text message, a tweet. And here's what happened. The direct mail piece cost him $15,000 to produce and send. We've all been there. $15,000 is a reasonable price. And he picked up 200 new customers. And then what he did was, is he said, if you use this code when you order wine, which can range anywhere from $9 to $49 for a case of wine, you get it for free. The shipping is free. So he got 200 new customers, $15,000 direct mail piece. The billboard cost him $7,500. He got 300 new customers. He sent out one text message, a tweet, and got 1,800 new customers, and that marketing was 100% free. That's the power of Twitter. That's the power of social networks. That's why this stuff is so important. People follow you. People trust you. They'll listen to you when you communicate. Social networks. Yeah, there's a ton of them out there. You got MySpace and Facebook and LinkedIn. Which ones do I use? Which ones are the most important? Well, it kind of depends on who your demographic is. I do want you to at least look at these numbers. Facebook, 150 million members. If Facebook was a country, it would be the eighth most populated country in the world, greater than Japan. Just put that in perspective here for a second. Now, why is it important to participate? Let me tell you something. As a marketing person, as a salesperson, as a person who's responsible for my company's business, anytime there's 150 million people in the same place and I have something in common with them, I want to be there. That's a cocktail party. That's a networking party with 150 million people in attendance. Now, is MySpace the right place for businesses? Maybe not, but certainly Facebook, and absolutely LinkedIn. You have to be in LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a professional Rolodex. And if you want some specifics, I don't have time, but I'd be happy to share many specifics that I used LinkedIn to actually create the social media Bible, where all other marketing attempts failed, but LinkedIn actually came through. So yeah, participate, please. Another thing, get out there, because you need to grab your profile names. You need to grab your company names, your own personal names, your product names. Because if you don't, see me afterwards. Just tell me you don't think it has any value. I'm going to go out and get your company names and your personal names, and then I'll sell them to you 2 years from now when you realize how important it is for $10,000 apiece. Or, all kidding aside, someone's going to grab them. So get them now, even if you decide not to use them. At least you got them. Second Life. We got any lifers here? Second Life? Hands? Well, of course, the speakers, they're all in Second Life. And we're serious business people, no kidding. Second Life, it's like a video game, except you don't kill anyone. It's not the first-person shooter that your teenagers are blasting brains out. This is fun. When your little cartoon critter is walking around, you actually meet other little cartoon critters. Those are called avatars. But the cool thing is, they're not generated by a computer. Those are real people in different parts of the world. And you can walk up to them and text, talk with them, or you can turn on your speakers and actually speak with them. How cool is it to just walk up to somebody and start a conversation, and they're from Brazil, or they're from Germany, or they're from anywhere in the world, even Antarctica, by the way. Look at this number, 16,785,000 members. Any place that there's 16 million people, I want my business to be. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that a huge watering hole? If you look over on the right-hand side, that's actually our offices in Second Life. How cool is that? You can go in there, you can walk around, you can see videos, you can read part of the social media Bible is in there, you can peruse, you can just sit back and listen to the waves and the seagulls because it's a beachfront. I mean, honestly, and we have our paper model store on the first floor. Cool, we're gonna have the very first virtual book signing next Saturday in Second Life. So, absolutely powerful. Now, have we figured out how to monetize it? We're in the process. I mean, there's companies like IBM, our sponsors, got a presence in there. That's the example that I use all the time, is how you guys have this incredible facility where you bring people from all over the world, not on airplanes, that's not green, but you bring them into Second Life, and all the engineers actually can network and talk, introduce each other, exchange ideas, and then all sit down in a virtual auditorium and see a PowerPoint presentation. How wonderful is that? Nobody's ever lost their office, there's no downtime. Second Life. If you're not there, go do it. It's absolutely free, and it's cool. And by the way, the top picture on the right, that was me dressed up as CNN. I do have to just share this story real quick. First of all, you could tell I was like buff. Hey, that's my avatar. It's going to look the way I want it to look. You got full control. So you want to turn back the clock a little bit, that's okay. But one of the cool things was is that when I contacted, in the social media Bible, I interviewed 50 of the top CEOs, founders, senior vice presidents, three from IBM, Biz Stone, the founder of Twitter. If you want to know why Twitter is important, he tells us why in his own words. But when I got to Mark Kingdon, who's the CEO of Linden Labs, who created Second Life, and I asked him if I can do a telephone interview with him, an audio podcast, he told me no. And that was the first person that refused. So I was kind of a little confused. What he said was, I won't do it over the phone, but if you meet me in Second Life, I'll be happy to do the interview. So we invited about 30 people. It was invitation only. And at 11 o'clock, this little cartoon character walked over to me. We were sitting, by the way, in the social media Bible garden. And the little eyes were moving. Trees were swaying. He walked over, introduced himself as the CEO of Linden Labs. And we had a 1 hour interview, including video. You can see it up on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type in Lon Safko, Mark Kingdon. It's absolutely amazing. It was so amazing, I didn't realize that one of the people in the audience was from CNN, and later that night we were on the homepage of CNN News, and we actually made the cable channel. It's the first CEO interview ever to take place in a virtual world. Go figure. Games. Games. He's talking social media, he's talking business, and you're talking games. What, do you lost your mind? Games. You know, who knows? Have we figured that out? Not necessarily, but look at this. World of Warcraft, 17 million. 17 million people are playing World of Warcraft. Again, if that's a market, if that's a trusted network, I want to be there. Now, some companies have figured it out. You can go into some of these games, and when you're driving down the road, there's billboards, and you see a billboard of the BMW. BMW actually placed their BMW car on that billboard in that game. What kind of subliminal exposure is that? Isn't that awesome? Trusted network, subliminal exposure. Now, have we completely figured out games? No. But with these kinds of numbers, I want to be there when it happens. That's it. You just want to be there. Blogs. How many people here have blogs? Excellent. The next seminar, I want all hands to come up. He's shaking his head. Dude, see, watch this guy. Keep your eye on this guy right here. I'm not kidding you, blogs. It's the most important thing that you can do for yourself personally and you can do for your company. And if you complain, shame on you, because it's free, it's easy, and it doesn't take much time. Now, there's this little company, it's a regional airline you might have heard of, only one profitable, by the way, Southwest Airlines. They did a blog a couple years ago, and the thing that I really love about them is Nuts About Southwest. Get it? Nuts About Southwest? Okay. Look at this number on the bottom, the 1 million. 1 million unique visitors. Now, first of all, who cares what happens with Southwest? All I want you to do is get me from city to city, get my bags there, give me some nuts, and leave me alone. But you know what? 1 million people cared enough to go and see what they had to say about their airline. What would you pay right now if I told you I had a secret to get 1 million people to your homepage, to your webpage? What would you pay me? There it is. It's free. You don't have to pay me anything. That's the wonderful thing about this. I'm not kidding. Now, here's another one. Small little hotel chain, also regional, I think. It's called Marriott. Old Bill, J.W. Marriott, he is the chairman. He's still running the company. He's, excuse me for saying this, one of the old farts like me, over 50. A little bit not comfortable with technology, per se. Matter of fact, Bill is so afraid of technology, he's never turned on a computer in his life. But you know what? Every other week, Bill puts a blog up. And he does it by using a digital recorder, gives it to his secretary to simply transcribe and put up there. 600,000 visitors last year. They tell him the good stuff that they're doing so that they can keep doing it, and they tell him the bad stuff that they're doing so they can fix it. What is that worth to you as a company? And it's free. That's what I keep getting at. You have to get out there. You have to communicate with your customers. They're going to start a conversation with or without you. Why don't you control that conversation? User-generated content. When I heard about blogs, I heard that the search engines were going to give them preferential treatment in indexing. Now, for the last couple of years, I taught search engine optimization. And the reason I learned it is because I wanted to be that good at it so that I can apply it to my own company. And I taught it around the country. And I know that Google takes 12, Yahoo as well, takes 12 to 14 days from the time you create a web page until the time it's indexed. 12 to 14 days for a new page. So I created this blog, and it's Subway versus Quizno. Anybody familiar with Subway suing Quizno for defamation of sandwich? Okay, well, you're going to see the video on it here in a second. It's under the category of social media gone wild. So I created this blog, which is still up there, and I created it on December 3rd, 2007. That is when I first decided that social media had relevance. Now, here's the cool thing. I'd already set up Google Alerts. You know what I found out from the moment I hit publish? 30 minutes later, my web page was indexed on Google. 30 minutes, not 12 to 14 days. Now, let me tell you something else that was good. If you type in social media, which right now gets, what's the last count, 161 million hits. That's not what took you to the page. And if you type in Quizno Subway, Fortune 1000 companies, so that's not narrowing it down. But if you type in those four words, I came up number one in Google, not just on the first page, I came up number one. And you know what? I have been number one on Google for those four keywords since December of 2007. I still have not lost my number one position. That's the power of blogs. What would you pay your webmaster to get you in the number one position in Google and keep you there since December of 2007? That's the power, and it's free. You gotta love this stuff. Are you loving this stuff? Yeah, okay, come on. I'm loving it. Okay, blogs. Blog pages are exactly like HTML pages. They can look exactly the same, except actually they have more features than HTML. And when I saw that, let me tell you what I did. You're not going to believe it. My website was HTML. I had built it in 1994 and continually added to it 101 pages. And when I saw this, the next morning, I formatted my server. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I actually erased 100% of my website, and I recreated it, the entire website, using blog software. Now, anytime I add a page, anytime I make a change to a page, Google indexes me in 30 minutes. Does that have any value to you? Now, I'm not recommending that you go out and erase your corporate web pages, but I am certainly telling you, add a blog to it and eventually phase it out. You can quote me on this. In 4 or 5 years, there will be no such thing as HTML anymore. This is going to be the programming language of the future because of the power, because of the preferential treatment. Blogs are powerful. Okay. I want to show you a couple of videos of some stuff that actually happens out there using social media. And this is something called Seismic, which is kind of like Twitter for text messaging, except this allows you to do the same thing with videos. Now, as a marketing person and teaching marketing all the time, you know what I'm supposed to tell you. Your marketing material's got to look perfect. You got to have a spell check. You only got one shot at a first impression. Okay, let's switch over now to social media. Your marketing materials have got to suck. I'm sorry, they suck. And you know what? The worse they are, actually the better. Now, that doesn't mean that you go and you mess up your homepage and your brochures. They got to be perfect. But when we're talking about social media, the worse the better. And the reason is if you're going to produce, let's say a television commercial, it's going to cost you anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 to create that commercial. Trust me, if you're spending $250,000 or even $50,000 to create a commercial, don't you have a hidden agenda? Aren't you trying to sell a message? Well, of course you are. That's the purpose. Don't you think that your audience is wise to this, that there's an agenda attached with a production video or anything that you're going to spend money on? You got to get an ROI. But when your ROI, when your cost is zero with social media, you're real. You're transparent. Plus, this video that you're about to see actually was transmitted. Robert Scoble is one of the most prolific bloggers in the world. 23,000 blogs every 30 days he reads. 23,000 blogs. And he works for Fast Company. It's a magazine and a website. And he went to this party and he stuck his video camera in this guy's face. He was vice president of a company. And he said, "Tell me what you do." And the guy's like, okay. And when you see the video, you'll see how awful it is. But what I want to tell you is that was transmitted around the world within seconds. And over 50,000 people viewed it in the first 3 minutes. Here's the video.
We're here at the Fast Company party with,
what do you do for Current.TV?
I am actually the VP of online programming.
Yeah.
So I manage all of the content on Current.com, and over the last year I've been working with a small team developing.
Okay, could that be any worse? You can't see it, you can't understand it. But you know why it was so effective? Is because I got to see it within 3 seconds of when it actually took place. There was no editing, there was no hidden agenda. I got to see it instantly. I'll watch this. This is real. This is transparent. That's the difference between conventional marketing and social media. Real, transparent, authentic, sincere. Here's another one, Cold Stone Creamery. Anybody into Cold Stone? Yeah, it's pretty awesome, huh? Okay, Kevin DeNolan. Everybody's familiar with Cold Stone's world headquarters right up here on 101? Okay, Kevin DeNolan, vice president, friend of mine. We were having coffee, and I said, so what did you do when you went to Cold Stone? He said, well, the first thing I did is I looked at what we did last year. We took a satellite truck around the country, and he didn't do it, his previous vice president. And they interviewed people outside the Cold Stone Creameries, asking them, what do you think about Cold Stone Creamery? Oh, it's really good. It's sweet. Makes me fat. I love it. Okay. Cost him $35,000 to do it, completely ineffective. So what he decided to do is to Twitter and get people involved and say, we're going to have a contest. If you participate and we pick the marriage of two flavors, you pick the two flavors that we have and we'll put the two of them together, and if we pick yours, you're going to get free sundaes, one a week for a year. So user generated content engaging your customers. So what happened? Well, they actually created this little cartoon. Let me play the part of the cartoon for you and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Baby, am ever since I first saw you. You know my taste buds been bursting. You know I've been thirsting.
Who's that supposed to be singing?
Two mix ends.
What? You said
three
that?
Mix ends. You hear what I said? Give me more. Your fresh strawberry flavor. I do adore. I like it. Love it. Gotta have it. Ooh, baby. I think developing.
We got a mixed audience, so I have to stop it there. How cool is that? A Barry White kind of knockoff. But let me tell you something. They had 125,000 views in like the first 30 days. They had 54,000 entrants. They picked not very exciting strawberry and cheesecake. Okay. But the point was they had TV interviews. They were actually on the Today Show for that. And they got 54,000 of their clients to engage in their product. And the entire campaign, including the voiceover and everything, $8,500 over the $35,000 they spent the year before. I mean, you know, come on. How cool is this? And people are still watching it, and I'm telling about it around the country. Okay, will it blend? Tom Dixon is the president of a company called BlendTech. When you see the video, you will see that Tom is not right in the head. There's a particular spot in the video that you'll recognize it immediately. Tom is the president, and what he did was is he created a blender. But he wanted a good blender, and it better be because it's $650, and it's a home blender. It's a residential blender. Okay, so the day before he's ready to release his product, he goes into the engineering, and he pulls one off the shelf, and he wants to test it. Now, the number one cause of blender death in America is margaritas. I'm not kidding you. People get drunk, they throw the carafe, but no, actually the blender death is not people death, it's blender death is because they're grinding ice. How many people here, come on, we're all friends now, we're all part of our social network. How many people here have burned out a blender grinding ice for drinks? Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. So this guy made this blender. So how's he going to test it? Well, he's looking around, 6 o'clock at night, everybody's went home, engineers are gone. So he's looking for something to test it. How do you test the motor? So he steps out this door, he's actually in the parking lot, and the yard care guys had left a rake. So he brings the rake in, and he turns this thing on, puts it on puree, and jams this 5-foot solid oak handled rake into the blender, and he ground it down to the metal tines. Now, talk about the proverbial chips hitting the fan, and I'm very careful, I practice that in my head before I say that. And they flew everywhere, so he's like, cool, it works. If it can grind a 5-foot oak handle, man, we're doing good. So he goes home, next morning, engineering comes in, calls the police, thinks they're vandalized. So they find out, no, that's just crazy Tom, and I guess he has a history of doing things that aren't right. And so everybody wants to see it actually in person, so he asked Tom, will you do it again? So they asked the administrative assistant to go down to the hardware store and buy a rake, well, probably two rakes, because they had to replace the one that they ate up the night before and the yard care guy. And there was an intern who was working in PR for free. Young kid, had his digital video camera, says, would you mind if I videotape this, because this is funny stuff. So he did. He videotaped it. And he starts it up, puts it on puree. Chips are flying. Everybody's laughing. It's hysterical. Okay, now, here comes the punchline. The kid takes the video, puts it up on YouTube. 24 hours, 1,200,000 people watched their video. And within 24 hours, they sold out of every single blender that they had. And what did that video cost? And here's the funny part. What did they pay the kid who took it? He's an intern. Even he didn't get paid. But how cool is that? Now, I'm going to show this. Now, he's not blending a rake. He had somebody wait at the Apple store for the very, very first iPhone.
Will it blend? That is the question. I love my new iPhone. It does everything. But will it blend? Oh, that is the question.
That just kills me.
Let's find out. I think I'm going to push the smoothie button.
Watch how long that thing continues to work, by the way. at that.
I smoke. Don't breathe this.
I smoke.
Now, you fans on YouTube have asked me to blend an iPhone. So I did it. But I have another. I'm going to put this on eBay.
Great. I mean, come on, it's hysterical. How about the numbers? How about 3,500,000 views? If I told you that I could market your company and I can get someone to watch your TV commercial and ask to see it, and I can get 3,500,000 people to watch it, would you hire me? Especially when I tell you you can do it for free. We can help. I mean, it's all about knowing how to do this. Isn't that amazing? Go to YouTube, type in Will It Blend, allow yourself 45 minutes, because I guarantee you will not get away from the computer. He blends diamonds, hockey pucks, golf balls, glow sticks, Barbie dolls, pens, video cameras, cell phones, and my very favorite is his tilapia shake, where he takes a full can of Coke in a can and a fresh tilapia fish and blends it into a shake and drinks it. I told you, you ain't right. Okay, here we go. Subway versus Quizno. Social media gone wild. Okay, here's the deal with this. Quizno says, what if we had this engaging kind of a thing? Get our customers engaged in the brand. And what they said was, is everybody's got a video camera. Grab your video camera, create a 60-second commercial. If we like it, upload it to Quizno. If we like it, we'll make it our annual commercial. It'll be cool. And you'll get national fame. We'll make it a commercial. Okay, now if anybody's from Boston, you know what a Southie is. And if anybody's Italian, you know what a Garvone is. And if you don't, it's the people from South Boston that, you'll see these guys are a sandwich short of a picnic. Not the sharpest tool in the shed. A couple of bricks short of a load. And what they did is instead of uploading it to Quizno, they uploaded it to Subway. Subway saw it and they put it on YouTube. 54,000 views in the first 24 hours, and when you see this video, you're going to see why Subway sued Quizno for defamation of sandwich.
Well, look at this little puny Subway sandwich. It looks like something my mom made.
Look at this Quizno sub. It looks like a meat factory exploded on my bread.
You know, if my car broke down in front of Subway, I'd stab an old lady, steal her car, and drive 5 miles running from the cops to get one of these Quizno subs.
Oh, my God.
How do they say in Italy? Magnifico?
God.
Man, Subway sucks. What's the deal, Subway?
Quiznos beats the hell out of Subway.
Quiznos is a bomb. Screw Subway, they suck!
Okay. Can anybody understand why Subway maybe was less than pleased with that commercial? So they sued. They sued Quizno. Now, here's the cool thing. As soon as they sued Quizno, the noise, the social media became a buzz. People started talking about it. Everybody started talking about it. Before you knew it, everybody was looking at the video. Next thing you know, the New York Times ran a front page story, and that's how I found out about it. And Subway actually did more to promote this than Quizno did. So they, Subway was smart enough to hire some social media people, and they said, dudes, I think they were from LA. They said, dudes, ease back, man. This is social media. They were just having fun. You didn't do it. And they dropped the lawsuit. And what happened was Subway got so much good press for dropping the lawsuit, they actually picked up market share. That's what social media is about, being transparent. Don't fight it. Just go with it. And they finally admitted, yeah, we know your sandwich is as good as ours. So even if things go terribly wrong, that you can still recover and actually gain market share. And I see that time and time again. So, okay, customer call production. Who better to ask than your customers to get involved in your brand and to tell you the best way to sell your product to them? Ask them. When we did the social media Bible, we had 1,000 people come in. You know the weird thing was? They didn't want another business book. Typical business book, 250 pages, 23 chapters. It's a formula. I've written 5 of them. It's a formula. What they said was, we want a business book to show us all the tools. What are vlogs? What's a podcast? What is this stuff about microblogging and Twitter? And then they wanted a guide. Tell me all the companies that actually offer these kinds of services. Then they wanted a third business book, which was strategy. Now that I know the tools and the tactics, how do I apply them to my business? John Wiley actually started, John Wiley and Sons is the publisher. They started publishing when Thomas Jefferson was our president in the United States. They've been publishing for 202 years. They have never published three books in one, and this is the largest book they've ever published in 200 years. But it sold out in six major metropolitan areas in 4 days. All I'm saying is I asked my customers what they wanted. I could write a book anyway at all. Just tell me what you want, and if I give you what you want, you're going to buy it. Isn't that what marketing is supposed to do? I mean, honestly. And bring the customers in as collaborators. I mean, here's the top people that are in the United States to talk about social media. These are the biggest companies, the biggest individuals, the most influential peoples on the planet. Every one of them are people that are selling social media. I simply went to them and asked them to participate in the book. Every one of these groups actually participated in 3, 4, 5 pages, and even the editing of every chapter in the book. Get your customers involved that way. They're willing to do it. They're happy to do it. Okay, who does social media affect? You know, honest to gosh, I think you're seeing that it affects everybody. I mean, really, no matter what your business, profit, nonprofit, whether you're academia. Friday, I did a presentation to El Dorado High School in Chandler. High school kids? Yeah, you're going out in the real world. How many people have MySpace? Everybody raised their... How many people have pictures of them throwing up and having fun? And all the hands kind of went up halfway. You want grants? You want to get accepted into a college? You want a job when you leave here? You got to make the transition from being a kid to an adult. MySpace is the number one tool used by human resource managers today. So who does it affect? C-suite, middle management, sales, marketing. I don't care. Unless you're going to retire in the next 24 months, it's going to affect you. And that's why we're here today. And that's why you're going to hear from the rest of us. So the Ten Commandments. Yeah, it's a play on the word. Somebody insisted. Blog. Please. Please. That's the first priority. Set up a blog. A personal blog. A business blog. It's easier than you think. And I think I mentioned that it's free. Create your profiles. Do it now before someone else takes them. Once they're gone forever. That's called cyber squatting. So get out there. Upload photographs. You got them. Don't upload the ones with you with a lampshade on your head. Counterproductive. But other photographs, absolutely. Get them up there. Your customers want to see and participate. You want to put a persona with your company. Videos. You all got video. I don't care whether it's training videos or a customer. Grab a digital recorder. Go interview some of your customers. What better is to see your customer's smiley face on your website or your blog site? And it doesn't cost anything. Podcast. If you're too cheap to get a camera, use the free audio software that's in your computer. That's what I did. I created 48. If you take the podcast that I did for this book and line them up, they run 24 continuous hours of interviews. You guys can do that. It's just free. It just takes time. Set alerts. People are talking about you. You probably need to know what they're saying, and you want to participate. Comment. Social media is like going to a cocktail party. You wouldn't walk into a networking event, walk up to a group of people, and tell them your name and what you do in your business. That would be rude, unacceptable. Don't do that in social media. Listen first. Read the blogs. Add comments. You can be controversial. That's okay. That's perfectly okay. But participate. Get involved. Get LinkedIn. LinkedIn is really important. Put it in your email that you have a LinkedIn account, you have a Facebook account, you have a Twitter account. Make it part of your heading on your new on your letterhead, because that's how you propagate it, that's how you sell it. Explore social media. If you give me 30 minutes a week, that's all I'm asking. Friday morning, grab your coffee, lock yourself in the office, give me 30 minutes. Just Google something. I promise you, within the first 30 days, you will be so excited. You'll be as excited as I am, and you'll compete with me writing the next book. You will get excited because of the ROI. And the most important thing, what you see here is creativity. That's all. It's just creativity and having fun. But you know what? That's what your customers want. They want to see transparency. They want to see authenticity. They want to see you having fun. They want to be able to communicate. And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out today.